Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works, meaning God does nothing wrong. So for those of us who've been angry with God, here's an opportunity to say, I'm sorry. As the young people say, my bad. It is not your fault, dear God. It is mine. God does nothing wrong. Let me say publicly, I thank God for his mercies in my life. Every blessing in my life has come from God. Every hardship, every difficulty, every trial, every moment I have spent in the furnace of affliction, I have brought, finish my words, on myself. And so I declare God in my life to be a good God. I have no complaints against him. And all I ask is that he gives me the strength to live a life that honors him. And by that life, hopefully, at least one person may be ready to see his son when he comes. So I love God and I praise God. I'm glad he is God and nobody else. Our subject for today, and Jesus said. What did I say? And Jesus said. I want someone to come and pray for me. Someone who loves God, loves his word, loves his law. Come and pray for me, quickly. Come, my brother, come. God bless you. Come, pray for me. Right next to me. Oh, yes, Ora. Head bowed, eyes closed.
Father in heaven, we are here because we need you, because we love you, because we want more of you.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there is no limit to what you can do if we will just open our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight, this man has chosen to prepare his thoughts, his heart, his life, and that is what is speaking to us, your love through his life of integrity. We thank you for it, Lord. We need you to do something even beyond putting your words in his mouth. Put your words in our ears tonight as well. Put them in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Write your law upon our heart. Get us ready for what is ahead. We do not know what is coming. We do not know what we will face tomorrow or in the next year. And so, Lord, help us to take seriously but joyfully every bit of truth, every bit of your word that you have for us tonight. Speak to us inwardly and then give us the confidence in you. Increase our faith so that when we go home, we will actually believe that we will live it out based on your strength, based on your ability to help us take hold. Thank you, Father. Bless this man in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. My brother, what's your name?
Scott.
Brother Scott, God bless you. A million thanks. What's our subject? All right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wondered what Jesus preached about? What did he say? What did the Father send Jesus to say? All the way from heaven, if you believe the words of the Bible, and they are to be believed and trusted. What was it that Jesus said? Now, when I ask the question, what was it Jesus said? What I'm actually saying is, what was the heart and soul of his messages? If you combine them, stir them up, and extracted the DNA of the preaching of Jesus Christ, what would you be left with? What was the spinal cord of the body of his messages? Well, the Bible gives us more than a clue. It gives us large evidence. Tonight, we'll take a look at what it was Jesus said when he came to represent his Father on this earth. But before looking at what Jesus said, let's look at a man who preceded Jesus with regard to his office. He was 6 months older than Jesus Christ, and he was his cousin. Who was that man? John the Baptist. Now, why do you think we should look at John the Baptist first? He came to do what? Prepare the way. Now, reason with me. If John the Baptist prepared a way for Jesus, could Jesus walk a different way? No. He had to walk the way John prepared. Because John's preparation was at the direction of the Father. Are you following me? And so we will look at John the Baptist and try to determine what it was Jesus Christ said. Because what he said then will apply today and will be essential with regard to our eternal salvation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, and Jesus said. And we're reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Matthew 3, reading from verse 1. When you found it, say amen. If you have my version, read with me. What does it say? In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent ye. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In those days, which means he did not say it once. This was the theme of his message. Look at verse 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan. Finish the verse. Confessing their sins. Confession implies repentance. Look at verse 8. What does he say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Look at verse 11. What does he say? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. And so we have repentance mentioned explicitly 3 times, implied once, a total of 4 in that passage. The message of John the Baptist was repent. And that instruction he got from God the Father. This is how you prepare the way for Jesus. Preach a message of repentance to the soldiers, to the tax collectors, to the common man, the common woman, to the political leaders, to everyone who came under John's voice. His message was repent or stop doing what you're doing that's killing you. How many problems does God have? 1, name it, sin. I put out a statement today, what you call a tweet. I don't like that word, but I'll use it, a tweet. Sounds like the noise a mouse makes when you step on it. Tweet. But I don't like the word very much. I don't. It's not robust. Anyway, I sent out one, and what I said was, we die from sin, not cancer. If you pause to think, it is biblically correct. We die because of sin, not cancer or hypertension. Death entered the world because of sin. Are you following me? The wages of sin is death. Why will there be no more death, no more curse? Because there will be no more sin in the new world. And so John the Baptist preached, repent. God's problem is sin. The solution is, through the grace of Christ, repent, turn away. And when you turn away from sin, which is a violation of God's law, you turn towards a life of conformity with God's standard of righteousness. That was the message of John the Baptist, repent, our subject, and Jesus said. Now, John the Baptist has laid the way. Here comes Jesus. Stay in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, let's read verse 17. Our subject, and Jesus said. And remember favor number 2, ask God to put his words in my mouth. You know, one wrong word can turn someone off. When a preacher stands up to preach, he does not know what's in the heart of the person listening to him. He doesn't know. Someone may not like the tie, the shoe, whatever. He just does not know, and so he needs God's help. Are you following me? So when I say, ask God, give me the right word, this is an urgent request, because one wrong word, even if it's the truth, improperly expressed, I turn someone off. And so, please, remember the request. Ask God to put his words in my mouth. Matthew 4, verse 17, what does the Bible say? From that time forth began Jesus to preach and to say what? Repent, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, reread the verse this time microscopically. Listen to the wording, to the structure, to the grammar. From that time forth began Jesus to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you read from that time forth, what does that tell you? What does it tell you? Did he preach that once? Listen, from that time onward began Jesus to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you understand by that? From then on, Keep going, go on to the rest of your commentary. It's correct. From then on, he preached and he said what? Repent. And that man said, or and Jesus said, repent. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. We'll read 14 and 15. Our subject, and Jesus said, Mark 1, 14 and 15. Don't tell my mother what I'm about to tell you, but last night she said, you preach too long. You can't argue with your mother. So I said, okay, Mama, shorten it tonight. So if I let you go in the next 10 minutes, I blame her, not me. All right. Mark 1, 14 and 15. What does the Bible say? Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying what? The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of is at hand. Finish the verse. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Here again, we have Jesus now recorded by Mark. And Mark agrees fully with Matthew. This is what Jesus preached. Now, Mark was not one of the 12 disciples. Matthew was. But Mark clearly got his information from somewhere. Bible scholars believe from Matthew they collaborated or they were somehow associated. Mark says what Matthew said. The message of Jesus Christ was repent. Question for you. Give me a practical definition for the word repent. Turn away. Let's say this is north, whether it is or not. This is north. Repentance will have you doing what? Going south. Let's say you're a drunkard. You decide to repent. What do? You stop drinking. Let's say you're a smoker and you repent. What does that mean? You stop smoking. Repentance is not a reduction in crime. It's not sinless. It is stop and begin to do the very opposite of what you were doing that offended God. And so when Jesus says repent, he meant stop. Turn. When John the Baptist said repent, stop. Turn. Of course, that is only by the power of God. No sinner can resist the power of sin unaided. And so John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus said, repent. Question for you. What did the disciples of Jesus preach when he sent them out? Of course, if you guess repent, you're correct. But let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. We'll read verse 7. Our subject, and Jesus said. Mark 6, reading verse 7. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, read verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. That was what Jesus told them to preach. They went out, the Bible says, and preached. Now, what they preached is summarized in one word, repent. Let's go to Matthew. He records the same incident, but he gives us some additional information. And we'll combine the two accounts and see the disciples preach what Jesus preached. Matthew 10, we'll read from verse 1. Matthew 10, reading from verse 1, and Jesus said as our subject, the Bible says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now let's go to verse 5. These 12, Jesus did what? Sent forth and commanded them, saying what? Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Verse 6. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now 7. And as ye go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let's add Matthew to Mark. As we study here a little, there a little, line upon, precept upon. Now, Mark says in Mark 6 verse 12, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Matthew says that Jesus told them, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you combine the two, we have what Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Christ sent the disciples out, their message was, repent. As the instruction of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus left and went back to heaven, did the disciples modify the message? Did they stick to the original script that Jesus gave them? Let's take a look. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, our subject. And Jesus said, Acts chapter 2, reading 37 and 38. Acts was written by Luke. Luke wrote two books, the book of Acts and the book of Luke. He was not one of the 12 disciples. He was also, in addition to a Bible scholar, what was he by profession? He was a medical doctor, yes. Physician Luke. What chapter in Luke did I say? What verse? 37, not Luke 37, Acts chapter 2, 37 and 38, but written by Luke. I'm the one who confused you. All right. Do we have Acts 2, 37? Read with me. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now Peter began preaching from verse 14, and there's a pause in verse 36, and the people jumped in and say, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, verse 38, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now Christ is in heaven. He has gone back. The disciples are still preaching what? Repent. And this is Peter who was quick with his tongue. He preached, repent. Go to chapter 3 of the book of Acts. Chapter 3, we'll read verse 19. This is Brother Peter speaking again. Read verse 19 with me. What does it say? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And so we have Peter again preaching, repent. And so John the Baptist preached, repent. Jesus preached, repent. The disciples, while Christ was on earth, they preached, repent. The disciples, when Christ returned, they preached, repent. Let's go to a man who was not one of the 12, but who was still 100% an apostle. Who is that man? Paul. Acts 20, reading from verse 17. Our subject, and Jesus said. Acts chapter 20, reading from verse 17. We'll have a summary of what Paul spoke. A summary. Are you there? Acts 20, 17. And from Miletus he sent where? To Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord how? With all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations or trials, which what? Befell me by the lying in with of the Jews. Now read 20 carefully and 21. And how I kept back what? Nothing that was what? Profitable unto you. Stop. Paul says, I held back nothing that was profitable. Give me another word for profitable. Helpful. Beneficial. All right. Paul says, I held back nothing that was profitable to you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Verse 21. Testifying both to them and also to them. Now finish that verse. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the summary of what Paul preached. Here is a summary of what was profitable. What was it? Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to 17. From what church did the elders come? Ephesus. How long was Paul at Ephesus? Let's stay in Acts 20. Let's go to verse 31. In verse 30, Paul is warning the church that false preachers will arise. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Read verse 30 now. What does that say? Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to what? Warn everyone how? With tears. How long was Paul at Ephesus? How does he summarize his preaching in verse 21 of Acts 20? Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest favor you can do a sinner is to introduce him to repentance through the power of the shed blood of Christ. Let me demonstrate what I mean. How many of you have ever been to the doctor? There's your hand. All right. You've all been. The dentist. Okay. Not the psychiatrist. The doctor, the dentist. All right. You go to the doctor. He examines you or she. Notices brown stains on your teeth. The inside of your lips stained brown. He sees a bulge in your top pocket and smells the tobacco. He examines you more closely and sees spots on your lung. What does he tell you to stop doing? Stop smoking. Why? Because smoking is what? Killing you. So he will tell you, repent. Are you with me? Are you not with me? He will say, repent. Repent of what? Smoking. Would you go back to that doctor if he told you, change your brand of cigarette? If the American Medical Association found out, he would be relieved of his credentials as a doctor. Someone else goes to the doctor and can hardly walk straight. The doctor smells the fumes, sees the top of the Johnny Walker in his back pocket, examines the liver, and sees the initial stages of what? Cirrhosis. What does the doctor tell that man? Stop drinking. He doesn't tell him switch from vodka to whiskey. Stop drinking. In other words, repent of drinking. God looks at us. There's no soundness in it from the sole of the foot, even to the head, Isaiah says. There is no soundness in it. But bruises and wounds and putrefying sores. That's how Isaiah describes us correctly. And God sends Jesus to tell us. Give me that word. Repent. Stop doing the thing that is destroying your life. Which means repentance is a message of love. Stop. Turn around. Reform. Redirect your gaze. Look unto Jesus. And so Paul preached, repent. Let's look at Peter again. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, before we go to Peter, let's look at Paul again. We want more than one witness. We need at least two. Let's go to Acts 17. We're looking at Paul again. Acts 17. We read verse 30, well-known verse. Our subject, and Jesus said... Acts 17, reading verse 30, what does the Bible say? And the times of this ignorance, God what? Winked at. But now commendeth all men everywhere, finish the verse, to repent. Listen to the verse again. See if you pick something up. And the time of this ignorance, God winked at. But now what? Say it again. Commandeth. Who? All men. The word men means people. Where? Everywhere to what? Repent. There's a message to the world. There is a command to the world. All people. North America, South America, Middle East, Australia, you name it. All people everywhere repent. Which means everybody has the same problem. I lost you. I have a spiritual gift for losing you. It's my fault. Listen to me carefully. If God tells all people everywhere to repent, then all people everywhere have the same what? problem, whether you're Buddhist, a Hindu, a Catholic, an Adventist, an atheist, an animist, a theist, a deist, an agnostic, a skeptic, whatever label you stand under, your problem is sin. Educated, sin. Uneducated, sin. Rich, sin. Poor, sin. Well-connected, sin. Societally marginalized, sin. The Bible says everyone has the same problem. That's why God can say he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's some of us who believe the problem of this person is that. The problem of that person is that. No, the problem of the world is sin. The solution is Christ. And culture makes no difference to that message. Because all have sinned. Finish the verse. And come short of the glory of God. All have sinned regardless of culture. And so Paul says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. A message of love. Now, let's go to Peter. We found Peter preaching repentance in Acts 2:38, in Acts 3:19. Let's get another witness. We already have two, which is what the Bible requires as a minimum. Let's get the third. 2 Peter 3:9, our subject. And Jesus said, when you found it, say amen. What does it say? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All sounds like Acts 7:30. Now commandeth all men everywhere. Listen to John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. It is related to John 3:16. The messages are virtually the same. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth should not perish, but have life everlasting. Which means repentance and life everlasting are inseparably connected. Paul died. Peter died. Let's go to John, the last disciple to die. John, he's the one who wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Revelation. Let's look at Revelation chapters 2 and 3 as we continue. And Jesus said, we're looking at the heart and soul of his message, which was repentance. You have Revelation chapter 2. Let's read verse 5. Now, this is the letter to what church? The very first church. It was which one? Ephesus. What does Jesus tell Ephesus in verse 4 of Revelation 2? Read it for me. Read it again clearly. Remember, I have somewhat against thee. Why? For thou hast left thy first love. Keep reading. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Stop. That's fine. Repent. The message of Christ. Now, you know from your study of Revelation, the seven letters of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were given to John by whom? Christ. Each letter to each church represents a historical phase in the church from the days of Christ down to this present day. In the days of Christ, when the church was represented by the color white, purity, the message was repent. Now, the second church, Smyrna, there's no call for repentance. That's a church that went through some terrible persecution. But the church at Pergamos, repent. Thyatira, repent. Sardis, repent. Philadelphia, the days of the Bible going all over the world, no repentance call there. Laodicea, repent. Now, who is Laodicea? We are. The last historical phase of the church, Laodicea, and the message comes to us, Repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, Revelation 3:19. Repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So that repentance is part of present truth. Did I lose you? Please say no. All right. What is present truth? What's present truth? Now, present truth can apply in many ages in history. In the days of Noah, he had present truth. Are you following me? In the days of Lot, he had present truth. In the days of Enoch, he had present truth for his day. So what is present truth? Truth peculiarly applicable to a particular period of time. In the days of Peter and Paul, the investigative judgment was not present truth. Are you following me? The three angels' messages were not present truth. In these days, the investigative judgment is present truth. The three angels' messages, present truth. Cleansing of the sanctuary, pleasant truth, present truth. But among them all, repentance has always been a part of present truth, regardless of the historical era. If that's clear, say amen. In the days of Noah before the flood, repentance was present truth. In the days of Lot, repentance was present truth. In the days of the builders of Babel, repentance was present truth. In the days of Jesus, repentance was present truth. In the days today, repentance is present truth. Because the problem has not changed. The problem remains sin. And sin kills. Now it may kill you attractively, but it kills. Whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Sin kills. If I had to die and I had a choice, I wouldn't choose being eaten by lions. I wouldn't choose being stabbed to death. I wouldn't choose drowning. I wouldn't choose burning in fire. I would choose laughing gas or something. I would choose a lethal injection with a sterilized needle. Are you following me? I don't want to suffer. I just don't want to suffer. So death comes in different ways, but it's still death. The devil presents death in an appearance that makes it look like life. Are you with me? And when something looks that good, there's no need to repent. How do you repent of joy? Are you with me? But when God told Adam and Eve, "If the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," he told them death. Plain, simple death. Here's the devil. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." In other words, if you disobey, you'll what? You'll live. If you won't die, you'll live. For God doth know, in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He painted disobedience and death so beautifully that Eve and Adam saw life. My brothers and sisters, the problem is sin. However attractive it may look, and as long as sin is in the life, the seeds of death are in that life. And so the message is, repent. How does one repent? And when does one repent? And is it necessary to repent before coming to Jesus? The answer is no. Let me say it again. There are some who make the mistake of thinking, I need to repent before I come to Jesus. I've told you before, I believe, repentance is a gift from God. The carnal nature does not feel sorry for sin. And so a person convicted of his or her sin does not have to wait until he or she repents to come to Christ. You come to Christ as you are, and then Christ enables you, finish my words, to repent. Let me say it again. You don't stop smoking, then you come to God. And it's nice that some people respect God's presence, and so they want to come clean. No, you can't come to God clean. It is God who makes you clean. Come to God dirty, and He will make you clean. Am I getting through to you? Come to God with a condom in your wallet. Come to God with a cigarette between your lips. Come to God with the bottle of liquor in your hand in a brown paper bag. And then say, "Lord, I need help." And by His Spirit, through the all-powerful Word that created heaven and earth, God will remove the cigarette. He'll remove the brown paper bag and replace it with orange juice or something. He will remove the condom, give you a marriage certificate. He will fix the problem. You come to God in your condition and say like the publican, God, be merciful to me. Finish the words. A sinner. There is no need to repent before you come to God. You come to Him and He will enable you or me to repent. Let's look at something else. What did John the Baptist say? What did Jesus say? What did the disciples say in the presence of Jesus? What did they say after He left? What did Peter say in the book of Acts? What did Paul say? What do we find in Revelation? Let's learn something about Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14. 7:31. You'll be done by 7:45. Or I'll be done. Do you have John 14? Let's read from verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, what? Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Verse 10, read with me. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Keep reading. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Stop. Go to John 8. John 8, let's read verse 28. John 8, 28, our subject. And Jesus said, when you found it, say amen. Then, read with me. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Keep reading. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Go back to John 14. Let's read verse 24 of John 14. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Finish the verse carefully. And the word which ye hear is not mine. Go on. But the Father which sent me. Now, listen again. The word which ye hear is not mine. Finish the verse. But the Father which sent me. Now, here's Jesus. Matthew 4:17. From that time forth began Jesus to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who's speaking? Who's speaking? God the Father, through Christ. Here's John the Baptist. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God as heaven is at hand. Who's speaking? God, through John. What I want you to understand, you work our way back. Revelation has repent. Peter has repent. Acts has repent. Mark has repent. Matthew has repent. John the Baptist said repent. Repentance is worked all the way back. Who said repent? God the Father. He told Jesus, go and say repent. But before that, He told John the Baptist, prepare the way. And so John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto baptism. But he that cometh after me is greater than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with water and with the Holy Spirit. God is love, the Bible says. That's all He is. When God punishes, He's love. When He blesses, He's love. When He does not answer my prayer, He's love. When He does not deliver me immediately from a difficult situation on the job, He's love. God cannot be anything else but love. A God of love is telling us tonight, give me one word, repent. So what did that man say when he preached? Repent. What did that man tell his disciples? Repent. What did Paul say? Repent. What do we find in Revelation? Repent. We have repentance from Noah to this day. Repentance is applicable at every age and stage of human history and will remain so until sin and iniquity are no more. And so tonight, Jesus tells me, repent. It's a message of love. He tells you, with great respect I speak, repent. Obedience is life. Disobedience is death. If there's something we're doing, we know it is wrong. Wisdom tells us to do what? Repent. At whose request? God the Father. Notice what Jesus said, my Father is greater than I. Not in substance, but in function and office. The highest authority in the universe, the Father. He tells us out of love, repent. The same way you tell your children, stop doing that, stop doing that, stop doing that. The same way a teacher tells a student, stop wasting time, spend more time on your homework, cut out TV, go to the library. These things are for our good. Tonight, as you sit where you sit, the highest authority in heaven wants to have a relationship with you. And that's not Barack Obama or Ban Ki-moon. It is God, the one whom even Jesus obeys. And he sent me to tell you and to remind me, repent. My brothers, my sisters, let me close with these words. There are no disadvantages to repentance. Turn that around and say positively. Repentance has all advantages. Let me say differently. We hurt ourselves. You know, in Ezekiel 33:11, just listen to it. The Bible says, as I say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. This is the God now. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? It's one verse of the Bible where God seems puzzled. Why do you want to die? By holding on to your sins. And so he says, turn ye from your evil ways. Give me one word for turn ye. Repent. If there's something you and I need to repent of, let's do that tonight. I really mean that. Big or small. None of you has to repent of murder. Bank robbery. Mm-mm. Most people are not guilty of these big things. We're guilty of little things. Are you with me? Most people in every country are law-abiding. The United States population, 310 million, about 2 million under the penal system. Most people are law-abiding. Most people will end up in hell because they did not pay attention to little things. I describe it this way. Muscular dystrophy is not the result of having lost a leg. Are you with me? You can lose this leg and be fine. It's the result of a breakdown at the microscopic level. When someone shakes uncontrollably, it's a breakdown of processes at the microscopic level. When somebody drinks milk and begins to vomit and the face begins to swell, it is because the person cannot produce an enzyme. What is it? Lactase? Have you ever seen an enzyme? No. It is a breakdown at the microscopic level, and it results in macroscopic consequences. What did Adam do? Did he commit murder? Did he rape an angel? What did he do? He ate a fruit. And maybe just took one bite. Look at the world. Did you hear what I said? Adam bit into fruit, banana, apple, plum, pear, you name it. Look at the world. Zika virus, Ebola, war, ISIS, racism, you know. He just bit the fruit. It is the little things that will take most of us to hell. And so tonight, Jesus died for how many sins? Big ones and small. What was his message as we study the word? Repent. How many received the message tonight? Can I see your hand? Hands down. If there's something you need to repent of, make that decision tonight. No one needs to know what it is. It's your business and God. It can be this small, repent. You can be lazy, repent. Always late, repent. Your homework untidy all the time, repent. Short-tempered, repent. Stingy, repent. Love to spend money all the time. Whatever people have, you have to have. Repent. How many will say, Father, there's something I need to repent of. And in the strength of Jesus Christ, I repent. Forgive me. Can I see your right hand? If that applies to you, stand up with me. Stand up with me, please, if you can. We're standing to say, Father, there's something I need to repent of. Forgive me, dear God. Forgive me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Loving Lord, we're standing to say thanks for the message of repentance. And Jesus said, repent. Before him, John the Baptist said, repent. The disciples, while Christ was on the earth, said, repent. The disciples, after Christ ascended, said, repent. Paul said, repent. The last book of the Bible has a message of repentance. And Father, that message ultimately can be traced back to you. You sent John and Jesus and the disciples to say to a dying world, stop doing what is killing you, and that is sin. Repent. Tonight, we bow in your presence and we repent. From our hearts, we repent, dear God, forgive us. We want to stop going north and we want to start going south in conformity with your will, in obedience to your Spirit. Father in heaven, there may be someone who needs to repent of having left Jesus. Repent of having backslidden. Repent of having disregarded the word. Whatever it is, grant to him or to her that sweet feeling of repentance having been accepted and the restoration of a right relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, their God, who shed his blood for us, grant us the assurance of forgiveness. Let's leave this place believing that you have begun the process of targeting that weakness in our life with the divine blood of Jesus Christ. Let us come back tomorrow to listen to the word you'll give to your manservant. Dear God in heaven, watch over us tonight. Bring us back tomorrow, I pray, from my heart. In the name of Jesus, let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Travel safely. We'll see you tomorrow, the Lord willing. Have a very sweet night. If you dream, try to dream of Jesus. Travel safely. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.